I feel this is a simple word, and it's the basis of our victory that I want to share with you. And I don't know how to do titles, whatever the Lord speaks to you. But if you don't forget this word, just remember just this word for today. The currency of heaven. Amen? The currency of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. I'll read from verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen? And then let's go to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, that's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Luke, chapter 17. I'll read verse 17 and 20. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Then verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. Oh. Sorry. Matthew 17. Okay. Are you paying attention? Very good. Okay. Matthew 17, 17. And then we'll go to Luke. Sorry. Matthew 17, 17. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's open to Luke 22. Luke 22. Amen. Luke 22 verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, see, all these are Jesus' the Lord's word. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, we'll not read that part, most of you know that. It says faith comes by hearing, amen, and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, amen. And we just read a few things here about faith. Hallelujah. God and his word are one. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So God and his word are one. God's word is God's character. He cannot separate himself from his word. So he has exalted his word above his name. Meaning, my word will stand, will testify the integrity of my name. So God and his word are inseparable. And the Bible, Jesus came and he told an amazing parable that covers every parable of the kingdom. And it's the parable of the sower. He says, a sower went about to sow seeds, meaning to plant the word of God. And as he goes, he plants this word. He says some fell on just plain ground, so by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorns, and some on good soil. These parables are very, very, very it was explained in the Bible, but they cover the principles of the kingdom. And in the interpretation of that parable, he says that Satan, the devil, comes for the word. He comes for the word of God. You see, when you have the word of God in your heart, when you have the word, you have God in your heart. If you have the word of God, that word will always be a defense, always bring a breakthrough, always give you victory if you have the word of God. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then by hearing, as you listen, you hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you from the word, from that word. Amen. It says the enemy comes for the word. And we read here where Jesus told Peter, he says, Satan desires to have you. And he desires to sift you like a wheat. Say, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Amen. So there is a connection between the word of God and faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Peter received a word from the Lord. And it was a word to leave every sin and to follow him as his disciple. He was going to be trained and discipled, and then Peter was going to serve a purpose for the kingdom. So here, Peter has now accepted the call to be a disciple. And that's the moment you're born again, that's who you are. You've been called into discipleship for the kingdom of God. You've answered a call. You've left the world. You've left everything, and you have answered a call for the kingdom of God. So now you are a disciple. And he says, one thing the devil likes to do most is to sift. Is to try. Is to test people. But Jesus gave an amazing... He didn't pray for Peter to for any other thing. You all know the story. He prayed for faith, not to fail. And with all that Peter went through as a disciple, his faith did not fail. Because Jesus prayed for one thing: if he does not fail, you will always make, you will finish, you will cross your, you will overcome your trials, you break through your trials, you go through everything, and you come out shining, you will preach, you will do all that God has called you to do, like Peter did. Amen? If your faith does not fail. Of all the prayers that the Lord could have prayed, he prayed for his faith not to fail. It is impossible to live in this world as a Christian, as a believer, and not go through trials. Even not if you're not even a believer, just living in this current generation, you go through trials. You go through things. But what is making the Christian, making us, for us to make a difference, is that we are guaranteed to shine after the trials. We are guaranteed to come out on the other side victorious. We are guaranteed for those trials to be a platform for victory for us. Trials are never to defeat a believer. It is actually to promote you. There is no other solution to a believer's trial than promotion. Shadrach, Meshach, you can just look at anybody that puts their faith. Actually, Peter says the testing, the trying of our faith. Amen? It's like gold. Amen? It's like gold being put in a fire to remove the dross so that the gold can be better. Amen? Trials are not to make us destroy us or defeat us. Trials, when we are facing one, is a platform for us to grow and to mature from faith to faith, glory to glory, victory to victory, and to be a better Christian last year than we are this year. But what the Bible makes it clear that the purpose of this trial is to take away the word of God from our heart. Is to destabilize our confidence in the word of God. And not only to remove the word of God, because when you remove the word of God, then you have removed faith. Amen? Because faith comes by hearing the word. So when you receive the word, is now your that word you received, you have faith in it. So when that word is taken out, there is no faith. In other words, God, Jesus called Peter, gave him a promise. But if Peter's faith failed, Peter would have dropped all the promise that God gave. Peter would say, oh, this does not work. This has failed. I've lost everything. And it becomes a shipwreck. A lot of people are backsliding today because their faith is failing. Some start so strong, so excited, so energetic, so like God is everything on fire. It's just wonderful. But as soon as they started being challenged by the circumstances of life, by the things of life, before you know it, they begin to wonder and complain and murmur and begin to say, where are you, God? Why am I going through this? Or why this? Or why? After so much, they begin to backslide in your heart. And it begins to affect their relationship with God, their relationship with people, and eventually their relationship with their fellowship. So this morning, I want to share a little bit why we should be encouraged and to get some understanding on why faith is a necessity for us to be believers. The other scriptures that I read to you in the book of Matthew, it says, because of their unbelief. But the scripture before then, Matthew 17:17, listen to this. It says, O faithless and perverse generation. So anytime there is no faith, then they say a need. Our Christianity is going to be definitely derailed. It's going to be perverted. Because anytime there is no faith, there is no confidence in God. God is a spirit. And faith is the only thing that holds onto the word and the reality of God by faith. To the word of God by faith. You cannot see God visibly. So faith is the only way you prove that God is real, by standing on his word. And because we cannot see God, God's word is the anchor of our soul, is the strength of our life. But without faith, we cannot make that anchor. So without faith, the tendency is that the enemy will come and pervert our Christian life. And then, he says, because of their unbelief. The reason why we are here, and there are people out there that we used to be like them before we got saved, we call them unbelievers. Amen? We are believers. The difference between unbelievers and believers is faith in God. So, there are believers that are now, or Christians that are in church, but their faith has been taken away. So, we are in church, but we are really unbelievers. So, it says, because of their unbelief, they could not. So, when we as believers, as Christians, we don't understand the fundamentals of faith, and we don't justify our Christianity by living by faith, the tendency is that we are Christians, but there is no faith to our Christianity. We are really unbelievers. In the Bible, many times in Matthew 6, you will hear Jesus tell them, you know, if God can take care of this and take care of the lilies of the valley, can take care of the sparrows, he says, how much more you? He says, oh, you of little faith. Then he talks about, so you see places when the disciples were afraid, they were in the boat, and he said, where is your faith? Oh, you of little faith. So many times, again, you will see in the Bible where it talks about little faith. But again, they say, a hidden woman that heard the word of God, received the testimony of Jesus and believed, and then came to Jesus and says, my daughter is here, is sick here. And Jesus says, I can't take what belongs to children and give it to dogs. And the woman says, even dogs eat the crumbs that fall after their master's table. Very humiliating, but the woman persisted. And Jesus said this, how great is your faith. Great. She heard and she believed so much. And a centurion, as they called him, Jesus to go pray for him, for his servant. As he was going there, the centurion says, no, there is no need for you to come under my roof. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus marveled and says, I have not seen such a great faith, even in the church. in Israel. So faith is not about whether you've been a Christian. Faith is hearing and believing what you hear. An unbeliever, you can walk out of this room right now and meet an unbeliever that has never been in church, and they are sick or they are going through a problem, and you look at them, they've not even been born again, and you say, you know what? I received miracle. I believe in miracle. I believe if I pray for you, this thing will be okay. They'll say, okay, just pray for me. And you pray and they receive. They are not even yet saved. And they receive. Because their faith, they believe. Now, why is faith very important? Faith. Why is it the foundation, the fundamentals of everything that we do? Because if God is saying this, without it, we cannot please God. Without it, we can't walk with God. Without it, we are really a sounding brass. Without faith, there is no substance to our Christianity. Because faith is a substance of Christianity, of believing in God. So right now, don't worry about small faith or big faith. I just use that to show you. But the Lord wants to say something to us this morning. He wants to resurrect faith. He wants to increase faith. He wants to empower your faith. He wants to confirm. He wants to affirm. And he wants to edify your faith. Does it mean when you're going through sickness, you pray, and then you don't see healing, you don't have faith? No. Does it mean when you're going through problems, you need money, and you couldn't pay your bills, and you're believing God, and you're praying, and the money doesn't come through on time, you don't have faith? That's not what that means. We'll see later how actually great faith is the enduring power you have waiting for the things you're praying for. In the midst of delay, you still believe. Faith is really substantiated by the enduring patience, by your waiting while you're believing on God. But without faith, it's impossible to walk with God. It's impossible. So why is faith the currency of heaven? I use that word so that we can relate to the things the Lord wants to say to us this morning. Currency. Currency. In your wallet, you have the dollar bill. You have coins. You have quarters. You have, they are currencies. In Nigeria, they call that naira. In different parts of the world, in Japan, yen. And they call different currencies by different name. Currency is a law that has been established over whether it's paper, whether it's coin, over this particular statutory law that has been made by the nation, that this thing is now a legal tender. And this can be used to exchange for any good or property, anything. It can be used to purchase. It can be used for exchange of anything. And it's legal tender. By way of popular understanding, we call it money. Amen? Money. To bring it home, we call it dollar here. Amen? Now, the money, the dollar, the currency that we use, actually in the Bible here, it says money answereth all things. As long as you live in this world, in this physical world, there must be a trade. There must be a communication. There must be an exchange. And the standard exchange for every nation is the currency of that nation. Without it, you cannot purchase anything. Without it, you cannot trade. Without it, you cannot buy. Without it, you cannot do anything. So the currency is what you use for transaction. Poor, rich, bond, whatever president, any whatever, you, as long as you are bread, you need currency for an exchange. Amen? So now, if money is currency for the world, how many of you know about Walmart? Walmart is a very popular... Let's say you're hungry. Amen? You're starving, you're hungry. And you walk out of this place and you go to Walmart. And you tell them, I'm hungry, I'm dying, I'm starving. Please, can you give me one of those bread on the shelf? What would they say? Go through the cashier, isn't it? Go through, where's your currency? Where's your money? They're not going to give it to you free. If you take that bread because you're starving and you're about to die, and you take that bread and you eat it, you go to jail, isn't it? If you didn't pay for it. It's called, you stole it. It's a thief. So you see the importance of a law that binds something you use for an exchange called currency. You take the same currency, you want to furnish your house. It buys you all the furniture you need. Okay, you want to go to see a doctor. You pay. You want to go to a car lot. How many of you just like just all those cars sitting on the car lot, and you just go there, you just see the one you like. You just say, can you give me the key, please? I can drive out with it. They will think you're crazy. Because it's not possible to get these things without exchanging something. Amen? Without a currency, without money. No matter how desperate you are, please hear this. Because if we understand this, we'll see. No matter how desperate you are, no matter how much the situation you are, without currency, you cannot trade in this natural world. You cannot obtain. They will let you even die. Without currency, you can, without money, you can buy anything. Now, here's another second part of this. You have a son, a daughter, okay? And you have the currency, you have the money, but your daughter don't. Your daughter might have a desire, your daughter might have a need, and she doesn't have enough money to buy it. What do parents do? They use their money, they buy it, but you don't get it free. Somebody still buys it for you. Amen? Amen. But when their daughter grows up and starts working, what do they do? They can now buy these things for themselves. Amen? Amen. Some people are saying their parents still buying for them. I know. Amen. But in principle, a parent can only buy so much until the child grows. But then after the child grows, the child is now released to do for themselves and then do for their children. And that's multiplication. Amen? Yeah. Currency. Cody just graduated. Tokwe just graduated. There's no way you went to that school free of charge. Even when they say scholarship, somebody still pays for it. Amen? Somebody substituted for it. There is an exchange. So, can we agree with the Bible when it says money answereth all things in the physical world? As far as human beings are concerned. That's the reason they call it currency. It's what causes the world to flow. It's a current. Without it, you cannot flow in this world. You can't do anything. You can't operate. You cannot operate. Amen? Now, faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Without faith, you can't flow with God. Without faith, you cannot connect. Without faith, it is hard to receive. Whether it's your faith or somebody's faith, but there must be faith for God to move. Without it, heaven does not transact business very well with us. Faith is the currency of heaven. Without it, it's impossible to please God. The word impossible means it cannot happen. In that Romans, it says, how can they hear the word of God unless somebody goes to them? Okay? And then faith comes by them hearing and hearing the word of God. So every one of us here, we have come into the kingdom based on somebody's faith. Amen? Somebody transacted business with heaven in their faith, and they spoke to us or they prayed for us, and then we came into the kingdom. Now, this is the question. We have come into the kingdom, and God says, I require faith for you to shop from heaven. I require faith for you to buy and sell from the things of the kingdom, if that would make sense to you. The way you cannot buy and sell on earth, you cannot obtain things from heaven without faith. Even prayers without faith are empty. If you hear what I'm sharing this morning and there is no faith to it, you walk out the same and come back the same. Without faith, you cannot flow with heaven. Because God is a spirit. Now, really quickly, Hebrews 11 says, it was by faith, all these elders, if you look at from the times of Enoch, from the times of Abel, God listed how by faith to the times of Paul, it was through faith, people made a difference in the earth. And he listed their names here. By faith this, by faith, listed their names. Like, you know, the preacher, the man yesterday preached about putting your name on the list. Hebrews 11 has a list of names of people. And every one of them, he says, it was by faith. Amen? It was by faith. So let's put it this way. Walmart, because the Lord said make it as simple as possible. This is faith 101. Walmart has everything that you need. Amen? I mean, you know, they don't have everything that you need, but they have, you know, yeah. Somebody, I called somebody's phone one time, a dealer. He says, if Walmart don't have it, I don't need it. You know, let's say Walmart has everything that you need. It's there. It's there. In the physical realm. You want your furniture, you want your food. It's there in that store. But if you don't have money in your pocket, you cannot carry it. You cannot make it a transaction. I hope you're following me. Everything is there. God, the whole reason for this message, he says, I am God. I have everything that you need. Amen. Amen. Not only have I sent my son, or have I come in the flesh and paid the price to remove every obstacle, to destroy the bridge between man and heaven, to remove the bridge of sin, to pay the ultimate price to restore. And Jesus says, I have finished. It's finished. So as Walmart has everything, God says, I have all my promises are yes and amen. I'm God. I have everything. my word has promised. But just like you are hungry, but you don't have money to go to Walmart. Walmart, it's not their fault. Amen? I mean, if you die at Walmart's gate, you can't blame them because they have food there and you did not get to eat it. And you die of starvation. The problem is somebody either did not give you money to buy it or you didn't have money, but there was no transaction. Amen? The Lord started dealing with me about there are so many people going through so many things. And they are blaming me for the things that they have not received or the things they are going through. He says, I have spoken through the prophets. All through the ages, I have been trying to show men how much I love them. Through my miracles, through my wonders, through all the things, through all the testimonies here, I've been trying to show men that I care. I love them. I want to meet these needs. I want to be there. I want to be with you. Even though when they don't want me from their heart, I still give them my hands to show them I love them. Even still, they will not believe. I had to come in the flesh so that I can speak to men face to face. He walked this earth and again in the flesh showed how much he cared, healed, spoke about the promises, the kingdom. He says, I came literally in the flesh to still prove to men how much I love them. Died for sin. Died for everything. Did everything to show you how much I love. For God so loved the world. And then he not only died and then was risen. He says, now I send the power of heaven into the earth called the Holy Ghost. I have given everything. But still, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And they blame me for it. It's just like you go to Walmart, everything is there. He says, I have everything for you. But without faith, it is impossible to access it. Without faith, it's impossible to access it. Ephesians chapter 4 says, unto every one of us, the moment we're born again, he's been given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Every one of us, the moment we're born again, God has put within us that seed of faith. The one scripture here says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a grain of mustard is the smallest seed. It says you can still receive breakthrough. So if a small faith can still make a difference, why are we in the situation we are today? The Lord started explaining to me it's because of ignorance. Peter put it this way. He says, the testing of your faith is more precious than gold. Though being tried in a fire for a short time, but it produces an exceeding great reward. What does that mean? Every one of us has faith. But for your faith to grow, you have to use it. Do you understand what I'm saying? For your faith to grow, you have to invest it. If faith without investment, without works, without obedience is dead, it's not useful. So for faith to grow, you have to use it. You have to invest it. You have to do something with it. And then when you invest it, when you do something with it, then it grows. And grows and grows until your faith is big enough to do certain things. All of us here are not driving the same cars. I mean, I'm not saying it's by choice, but it's just by what you have in your pocket. You know you want something better. Some of you want a better house, but you live according to what you have in your pocket. So, faith, no matter how small faith is, even if you're born again today, a born again Christian today, can walk in a greater faith than people that have been sitting in church for a long time. When it says small faith, it wasn't saying limited faith. Because it says a faith as a grain of mustard seed can move mountains, can do a lot. So what is the Lord saying? Every one of you here has faith. You're listening. But let me tell you why our faith remains the same and why God is calling us to grow. Faith is obeying things that God tells you to do before you see it. Faith is, God is a spirit and God is saying, give. Or, go speak to this person about God. Or, do this. Or, make time. Put a schedule to study the Bible. Or, consecrate a lifestyle of fasting. Just these simple things. God is saying, do it. Do you know it takes faith for you to do it? The reason I know it takes faith is because many people are not doing it. The moment you do any of these things God says to do, let me tell you what happens. Your flesh begins to react. The enemy begins to react. And that's what Jesus told Peter, the enemy meant to sift you. What is he sifting? He wants to take your faith away. Why? Listen to this. Every time God asks you to do something, it's contrary to your human logic. It's contrary to your mind. Because you're obeying a God and he's asking you to do something that will activate his power. That will release his power. But instead, we'll rather do something that we can figure out, we rather do something that we have ability to control. We rather do something that we feel secure and safe and we know it will come out well. Than to do something that God says to do because it looks foolish when you do it. So, whenever you invest your faith, it appears foolish to the natural man. And who wants to do a foolish investment in the eyes of people? So, because we don't invest one step of faith, our faith doesn't grow to the next level. So, the testing of our faith comes through trials. What does that mean? Does God allow trials? No. It simply means this. The moment you are a Christian, unlike the rest of the world, when you have a need, God wants you to first of all address it spiritually. He wants you to pray. He wants you to seek God. He wants you to apply the things that are necessity in the Bible towards that. And the moment you begin to apply that, you begin to get heavenly results. And that's faith. But the moment you don't apply that, and you're applying things the world's way, you can be in church, you can be coming to church, but you are not really justified by faith. Let me bring it to the natural and we close in this direction. If you have money in your pocket, you might think this is not possible, but God said it in the parable of the talents. He says he gave different ones money and he told them to invest it. But there was some that left the money in their pocket. The talent. If you have money in your pocket and you're starving, and there's food at Walmart and you're starving, and you don't go to Walmart to buy the food, take that money you have and buy food because you're afraid, you know, that's the last money you have. And you're starving and you die of starvation. and there's money in your pocket. If somebody comes and finds out you died of starvation, what would they say of you? They say you were foolish. My brothers and sisters, we have a lot of money in our faith account. The moment, the fact that you're born again, you have money in your account. It's called faith. But if you do not activate it, if you do not invest it, it does not grow. When the Lord started first telling me to do things by faith, it looks crazy. Why should I believe you for healing? Why should I believe your word? I mean, he didn't say it to you, but he said it to me. When the Lord dealt with me to start trusting him by faith and to walk by faith, there were things I could go to Timmy and say, Timmy, please, I need this. I need your help. He will gladly help me. I could go to any of you in this building, but he says, for me, he says, don't tell anybody you have this need. Believe for me. Because I do not tell anybody, and all of a sudden, from nowhere, that need is met. Do you know what that means? It means that God is not there in heaven. He's with me. And when you experience this today, you experience it, okay, your daughter or your son or something is happening, and God says, do it this way. And you do it and you wait. You find out that what the arm of the flesh was doing was to keep you from the presence of God. The moment you obey by faith, it's amazing how you know that God is right there. You don't see him, but he's with you and he will never leave you. And let me tell you, faith is an exercise. If you go to the gym and pick up a muscle builder, like Mike has been doing now. You can see Mike has 4 packs. He's working on his 6-pack. I don't know what they call it. If you're picking up this weight muscle builder, you cannot go and pick up 300 pounds the first day. You'll be very discouraged and you won't go back again because your muscles will snap. Amen? Some people, they want to have faith to take over Cleveland. They've not taken over their headache yet. And so take at least, even if it's 1.00 pound, and exercise it. That exercise, the next day, you go and you take 5 pounds. It will exercise. I'm telling you, after a year, you might be lifting 100 pounds. After a while, you'll be lifting 200 pounds because you have exercised the little you have and it has grown. And that's how faith works. There was a time I had to believe God for gas in my car. I could walk, but God was calling me to pray specifically. And I would not tell anybody. I would just believe God for gas. I ran out of gas many times and I'll park on the road. Honestly, Keith Street and one other different. I parked and I sat in my car and I was getting late to my meeting. And I said, God, you created this heaven. You created, and I'm running out of gas. This is embarrassing. Let me just do a business. I'm not that stupid. I can't do business. Just let me, or get a job. Do what I needed to do. God says, no, I'm just calling you to pray and trust me. It wasn't easy. It was the most embarrassing situation for me. But I sat in that car, and I leaned over, and I started saying, God, I will wait here until you provide gas. And somebody stopped, because my car was almost getting to the gas station and it ended up by the corner there. Somebody came and met me and said, I was almost to Charleston. And the Lord said, go back and go to Skid Street. I'm going to show you something. And when he saw that car, he said, that's it. And the guy came and knocked. I was already sleeping. Knocked on the door and says, you need gas in your car? I said, yes. I mean, it's embarrassing, but I'm getting to know that God is not in me. I'm connecting. I'm transacting business with unseen world. My mind says, oh, because it was by the corner there, somebody could easily see it and come and they know you ran out of gas. That's why they came. Our mind, God will do one miracle. Your mind will tell you it's not God. No, somebody. So the next time I ran out of gas, now my faith is growing. Now I'm believing God better because I've seen him there. But now my mind is saying, you know, somebody saw it there. So I believe God sometimes the money for gas will come in. Sometimes we're not. This is until we start believing God for big things. Amen? It didn't start overnight to believe God for the things that we're doing today nationwide. Now, I said, I was running out of gas. Before I got to the gas station, I had a class. I had somewhere I had to be. But I run out of gas. Those are some of the things you are challenged. The enemy will say, you're going to be delayed. You're going to run out. But I know if God created heaven, he can give me gas money. He can help me. He can heal me. I want to know this God that I'm praying for. I don't just want to pray and go do the things myself. I want to prove that God is with me. But I started with a little bit of exercise. Amen? I wasn't believing for $2 million that time. Or $3 million, all those things. I was believing for gas money. So, when I ran out of gas, this time, I pushed the car and pushed it to a parking lot. So that it was among other cars that are parked there. So that somebody would not say, oh, that's the devil was trying to steal my faith. So I packed it there. Now I know there's no way. That, you see, don't try to believe God and from the back door you're helping yourself. I packed the car there and I stayed there and I says, God, if you told me to do this, I'm running late. How could you heaven and earth? And I'm struggling with gas money. What is this? You know, but I that's my training. I took that muscle, I lifted it, I stayed in the car, and I said, thank you for my gas. And I stayed in that car. You will not believe. Somebody came there to that parking lot, knocked, and said, you're out of gas, aren't you? How did he know? When you stand by faith, God will begin to speak to people. God will begin to do things you will know that this thing is for real. So he came and knocked and he says, I want to put, then we went, he got gas, put it in there. It looked little then, but that's how my foundation was built. Now, there is nothing you can do to make me live any other way. After so many years, why do people faint? Why do people give up their faith? Why do the enemy come? Because you are a believer, you're believing God for healing, you've not seen your healing. And you're getting frustrated. You're losing hope. You're believing God for this, you're not seeing it. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says, testify about the faith of Job. Job had an incurable sickness in his time that was beyond measure. And God healed him after a while. People go through things and God comes through. God says, the woman waiting, if you don't faint, he says, I will restore, I will avenge you speedily, but I'm looking for faith. My brothers and sisters, God is calling you and I to faith 101. Let's begin to enter the, go back to the gymnasium of faith. Don't live this life doing everything for yourself and not allowing God to do some things for you supernaturally. Because this world is about to be shaken. And if your faith is in this system, you're going to be disappointed. Your faith should be on the Word of God. Amen? I can tell you stories of the big times faith started growing and the muscles started growing. And now we can lift 200 pounds, can lift 400 pounds. We can lift big, big, big faith projects. Because faith is a confidence. It's an assurance. There is no double-mindedness about God. When he says, go do this, when he says, I'm going to do this, it is over. You just wait. Amen? But it didn't start overnight. So I want to encourage you this morning that the enemy has been coming to steal your Christian faith. And this morning, God wants to restore confidence in your heart. You serve a living God. You serve a great God. You serve a God that has more than Walmart can ever have. You serve a God that has, if you, whatever you need, he says, I am there. I am a present help in the time of need. You serve a God that is a God of miracles. You serve a God that provides. You serve a God that will sustain you. You serve a God that will protect you. You serve a God that heals. You serve a God that cares. You serve a God that will defend you. You serve a God that will fight your battles. We serve a true living God. I refuse to be a Christian that does not have a proof of God in my life. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith will not fail. This morning I've come to tell you, you are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Because you have faith in God. No matter the lies of the enemy, no matter the delays, no matter the delays in your expectation, no matter the struggle you're going through, I want you to know that God does not fail. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So this morning, there's somebody here. You have given up. The struggle and the fight. Some have gone weary. Some have questioning about your faith. You might not say it directly, but you've been wondering, God, why? Why this? Why that? The Lord is saying to you this morning, I am here. I have been with you, and I will always be with you. I want you to rise up in faith. If you're here, just lift your hands. It takes faith for you to really agree that you need encouragement. You need that faith. Can you just lift your hand and put it down? Amen. If you're here, you need healing. And you've been believing for healing. If you're here, you need financial breakthrough and you've been sowing. Because first of all, you have to be faithful in sowing for you to expect a harvest. You're here, you're believing God for something that it looks like it's been delayed. You're here, you've been struggling. I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe it's a vice. It's maybe something that you're trying to give up. But you're still fighting and you say, God, how long will this bondage? How long will I put up with this? If you're here, and you're struggling with faith, this morning, just for the next few minutes, I just want us to just lift up our two hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I worship you. creator of the universe, the maker of all things, the one who created this world in 6 days, the one who holds the stars and the moon in their position, the one that sets the boundaries of the ocean, the one who has set the habitations of our, the boundaries of our habitations. From generation to generation, you have shown to be the same. Because you are El Shaddai, the one that has proven to be sufficient. You are God, and you are a great God. Father, I give you glory and I thank you for the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, look at the hands that are lifted unto you. They are lifted unto you. They are yielded unto you. These are the hands of a rising faith. These are the hearts of faith lifted before you. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you for breakthrough. I command breakthrough into the life of your people. I loose breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Whatever the need may be, Father, I thank you for breakthrough. I thank you for an outpouring of grace upon the life of your people. I thank you for a refreshing river of grace upon your people. I thank you for the refreshing presence of your grace. I thank you for reviving faith by the impartation of your grace. I thank you for an awakening of an expectation by reason of your grace. I thank you for the release of favor even now in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be glorified, O Lord. I thank you for the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I break every form of depression and confusion that has been caused by delayed expectations. Be uplifted. Be inspired. Be encouraged. Be motivated. Arise in the name of Jesus and walk by faith. Arise and be strong. Arise and be hopeful. For your God is a great God. He is fighting on your behalf even now. And he has victory. Only victory to be your portion. And the favor of the Lord is increasing upon your life. Your breakthrough is now. In the name of Jesus. Go forth into this week with joy, with cheerfulness, with inspiration, walking by faith, knowing through faith you can receive anything. Go and shop from heaven. For heaven has everything for you. Receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I pray now that you, with the increase of your faith, that you will go and even bless others. That you will release your faith upon people's sickness, upon their needs, that you will purchase miracles from heaven for them. Breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you receive it, shout hallelujah.
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 How many of you are ready to shop from heaven?
Amen.
You know the currency of heaven? Amen.